And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, y'all. I'm serious when I say it. I mean, y'all, we cover so much ground in the show, like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to move into Dipper number one. And I got some audio for this here in a few minutes, too. So this was a rather contentious debate. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you watched the debate last night? That'd be not a whole lot of us, I think. And I say that because, number one, it's getting a little bit like, wow, okay. But, you know, I'm a political junkie, but even I wasn't able to make it last night. Of course, I had a pretty legitimate excuse, which I won't go into right now. But nonetheless, it was a significant night in the aftermath, watching it, seeing how things went. I'm like, well, yeah, this is what debates are supposed to be like, sort of. But then I could not help but agree with something that Vivek Ramaswamy said. By the way, I'm starting to, the shine's off the app a little bit with the idea of his candidacy. I think he's got some great qualifications and great capabilities, but I heard something last night, or read it, I take it back, I saw it on social media. Charlie Kirk this morning said he does not think for a second that and I'm paraphrasing slightly, that Ramaswamy is going to wind up getting elected president. Not in this cycle anyway. But he said, but after watching him last night, he thinks we absolutely need to make him the chairman of the Republican National Committee. So, yeah. So, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I really hadn't planned on doing his audio clips. I'll use it soon, Boom. But Ramaswamy just went at it. So you heard me say yesterday that Ronald McDaniel needs to resign. Well, Ramaswamy went on stage and said she needs to resign. But I'll tell you what else he did. He took issue with the fact, he said, Ronald McDaniel, if you want to come up here and defend the fact that we Republicans are having to sit up here with Democrats questioning us on a network that has done nothing but portray Russia collusion and everything else for the last few years, then come on, I'll give you my time. I thought that was amazing. But then on top of that, he looked right at the moderators who work for NBC, I believe, and just grilled them for a second. Like he just blew off their question and just grilled them. And he pointed out, I thought this is huge, and we'll hear him say it in a minute. He said, if the RNC was doing his job, we would be sitting here with Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk, and Joe Rogan asking us questions, and we'd have 10 times the viewers. But you put us on a Democrat-run network with Democrats asking us questions, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I was like, wow. Oh, boy, just stepped up to the plate swinging. But so anyway, that was my favorite takeaway moment. Was calling out his own party. I thought that was huge. So, all right, I'll tell you what. First one in line here. How did it go last night? Well, it was fiery. It was barnstorming. It was like flying in, and it was brief periods of madness. So the indications are that Nikki Haley is the one that everybody was after last night. She took more shots than anybody, I think. Story here on Fox News, Nikki Haley gave as good as she got at the third Republican presidential primary debate on a slimmed down stage during a showdown full of insults intertwined with serious policy discussions. That's about right. Says she was repeatedly in the spotlight during the 2-hour debate held in Miami, just a few miles from where former President Donald Trump, the commanding Republican frontrunner, was simultaneously holding a rally. So yeah, by the way, I'll talk about it more in a minute. Trump blew the whole thing off. Wasn't like he wasn't available. He just didn't want to go. He had a rally with thousands of people down the street just doing what Trump does, you know. Story here goes on and says three of her rivals just teed off on Haley, but it was biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy who fired the most shots, and it got ugly and quite personal. And then I thought this was a bit tacky, just to be honest. Ramaswamy thought it would be a good idea to poke fun at her for poking fun at him for engaging things with TikTok because, in his words, her own daughter was using the app. Well, okay, first of all, her own daughter's in her mid-20s and mama doesn't decide what to do with the mid-20-year-old social media. But then you look at it and go, okay, Was it worth bringing up her daughter? Did you not see what was going to happen? You immediately made her a martyr. You immediately made her the mama defending her daughter. And she didn't. And by the way, I think she got so incensed that it probably caught herself off guard. She looks right at him and said, "You're just scum." And this is, and that's not even like a Trump nickname. You know, Trump gives nicknames. He's like, you know, a little Mario or, you know, somebody with, you know, bad hair or whatever, Pocahontas, you know. No, she just goes, "You're just scum." I thought, okay, you know what? Ma'am, you got to do a little better than that. First of all, he's got to do a little better than that. But I thought that was a bit of a heated exchange that was like, okay, you got to do better. It says, Haley entered Wednesday's debate on a roll. Thanks to her well-received performances at the first two showdowns, it helped to propel her into the battle with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in the race to become Trump's main rival. By the way, keep this in mind. I said it right before the last break. I saw Scott Rasmussen recently give his speech. He was the keynote speaker at the Alabama Policy Institute dinner. Did a great job. He was also very pragmatic. He talked about the polling in the nation. He talked about, he talked about a lot of things. But one of the things that he said was, and I'll never forget this, he said, "Do not think for a second that Donald Trump is a shoe-in to be our nominee as a Republican." And, of course, the whole room kind of perks up when he says that. We're like, what polling does he have? And he didn't say, "I have certain polling." But he said, right now, the number of obstacles in the way of the Trump administration, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, are so significant, he said that I would give it a 50-50 chance of whether he's going to be able to make it through to be the nominee. Well, that's interesting. I don't know that I agree entirely, but it's also hard to disagree. So what you're looking at here on the stage last night, the reason I bring that up is because who's on that stage is who's next in line. So if Trump winds up getting waylaid in some way, like let's say he gets a felony conviction off of any of these, he has an opportunity to appeal it, but he still can't run for president with the conviction still standing. So what he's got to do is overcome all of these hurdles they put in, which are egregious. And I am absolutely just of the belief that this is nothing but a coordinated assault somewhere. There's an act, somewhere there's a secretive communication chain between some of these people in so-called separate cases. But all that to say, Trump is absolutely the front runner. Trump could make a great president again. There's no guarantee he will. So whoever's on this stage last night, it's important to pay attention because you may want to make sure you know who your plan B is. Haley and DeSantis took aim at each other, fueling their burgeoning rivalry with each other, accusing the other of being too friendly with China. Haley again accused DeSantis of banning fracking, which he once again denied. Haley and Senator Tim Scott, they argued over the feasibility of a 15-week federal abortion ban. Ramaswamy spent much of the debate throwing bombs. He, at one point, he described Nikki Haley as Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels. Called her Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels, which she immediately fired back and said, "The heels are actually 5 inches and they're for ammunition." Whatever that means. I'm guessing that means she could take one off and whack him upside the head with it. I don't know. And then Chris Christie got up there. Chris Christie's in a league of his own. Chris Christie, I think, is running for president simply because he hates Trump. So Christie, a vocal GOP critic of Trump, also took aim at the former president, who's embroiled in 4 trials, including 2 for trying to overturn his 2020 election defeat, and said this. He said, "Anybody who's going to be spending the next year and a half of their life focusing on keeping themselves out of jail and courtrooms cannot lead this party or this country." That's the way last night went, y'all. It was something. But I'll tell you what, Boomer, go and get that audio clip ready. I think we'll do it before the break. So, there was a moment there, I told you earlier, where Ramaswamy just opened up with a absolute just takedown of his own party's leadership. Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel. We got a problem with McDaniel. I mean, she has presided over loss at every turn, and he was having none of it. And I thought it'd be worthwhile just hearing that particular moment. Go ahead and hit it, Boomer.
Swami, let me turn to you. Please make your case. Why would you Why should you be the nominee and not the former president?
I think there's something deeper going on in the Republican Party here, and I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer in the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you. And frankly, look, the people there are cheering for losing in the Republican Party. Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. Do you think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, do you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time, because this is actually about you and the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years, was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Ross.
Sorry. This is how we get our country back. We need accountability because this media rigged the 2016 election. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're
going to
rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Let me turn to Governor Christie. Why you?
You could tell they were turning down his mic at that point. I mean, Lord. Yeah, so I will say that was just to me. One of the most epic moments so there have been a couple times in debates. I mean, I love, looking back, I love Ronald Reagan just dismantling. Was it Mondale? And he basically, you know, there was some question about Reagan's age, and he said, I refuse to let age be a factor. I will not allow my client, my opponent's youth and inexperience be a factor in this race. And it just and even his opponent just loved it. So there was that moment. There was also a time when I loved it when Newt Gingrich, and I can't recall the actual commentary, but he was asked one of those questions by a liberal moderator, like, why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep having liberal moderators at Republican events? But anyway, liberal moderator just looks at him and asks a question. And he basically looked at her and said, that's your question? You should be ashamed that that's your question. And it was epic. And then that one last night. I think those are my three favorite debate moments perhaps ever. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll continue on with this. What did the candidates say about Israel? Well, Ramaswamy lost a little points on that one with me. And then also, what about Chris Christie and Social Security? That was an interesting dynamic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. By the way, two pieces of breaking news, one state, one national. I mentioned a while ago that we just learned in the last hour that Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is announcing he will not be running again for the Senate. However, and just looking it over during the break, it appears that he intoned that he is considering a third-party run for president. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. It certainly would. You know, right now, technically, that's what's already happening. We've got the whole situation with Robert Kennedy running now as an independent. Well, is there going to be a third party? Is there going to be another independent? What do we got? I don't know. I don't think he knows. He says what were his words? He said that he will be... Where'd it go? Traveling the country And talking to people, gauging the interest in mobilizing the middle and bringing Americans together, referring, they believe, to a third-party presidential run. I don't know. We'll see, man. All I know is we got to take back the Senate. The other one, though, just happened. So our most controversial, I'd say our most controversial, except for the ones who are looking to go into jail right now, our most controversial state legislator is Representative Wandolyn Gavan. Representative Wandolyn Gavan is she Birmingham, Bessemer? Anyway, she doesn't live in Congressional District 2, the new lines, but she's running for it. So that just happened. Representative Wandolyn Gavan just announces that she will be announcing her congressional run next to the Rosa Parks statue on Dexter Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama, on tomorrow, November 10th at 12 o'clock. So, this is going to be a heck of a primary. I mean, this is going to be a heck of a primary, y'all, for that congressional district too. It's going to be crazy, and I don't mean like a little bit. It's like cray cray crazy. This is going to be deep down, like deep dish pizza crazy. Did I mention it's going to be crazy? Wandolyn Gavan. She's dying to get up there and be a part of the squad. I can just tell you right now. All right, so two things that came out of the debate that I want to cover real quickly. First of all, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to grab this one first, just in case we run out of time. Story on MarketWatch. You know, you find stories when you resource the shows as intentionally as I do. Well, anyway, I find all kinds of resources. So Governor Chris Christie last night had himself a moment where he raised some eyebrows. Now, granted, I understand that Social Security, that we're going to have to do something one day. It's not going to last the way it is right now. There is talk about raising the age limit, and I understand that. But he said something that I thought was a fundamental misunderstanding of the way this works. He basically called out anybody who is, you know, what he called rich, that might also collect their Social Security. I'm like, wait a minute, hang on a second. He says this, quote, "The fact is on Social Security, it was established to make sure that no one would grow old in this country in poverty, and that is what we have to get back to. Rich people should not be collecting Social Security." Well, I got to point something out to you. They're not collecting, this is not food stamps. This is not an Obama phone. This is something that throughout your working life you have paid into. And the government is then returning back to you in your later years what you helped pay into the system. Go look at every paycheck where they took out scads of your money. And you'll find that, you know, SSI in there. And so Social Security, yeah, if you are wealthy but you paid into the system and you get to that age where you decide, you know what, I'm going to draw that. You can draw it and do whatever you want to with it because it's supposedly your money. Well, Governor Chris Christie thinks, you know what? If you're wealthy, you shouldn't have it. And then he talked about Warren Buffett. Like, Warren Buffett, the billionaire, is on food stamps. I don't know what's going on with Christie. Christie's just clutching at straws. He's trying to find something. And then the last thing I got here is the fact that Israel was a topic of conversation. And you might expect that during the debate. And then pretty much everybody said, hey, you know, if you were to tell Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu your thoughts on it, most of them, like Ron DeSantis, says, finish the job. Finish the job for these butchers, Hamas. Nikki Haley said about the same thing. She said, I worked on this every day at the United Nations. We got to remember, they have to eliminate Hamas, and we have to support Israel. Vivek Ramaswamy was the one who said, I'd say go get it, but we're not going to help you. That was his response. In his words, he would not provide financial support. He wanted to avoid making the mistakes of spending money in foreign wars. It's not like that. Joe Biden's inability to have a plan in Ukraine is a different story than assisting our allies when they have a fight, especially when they're buying weapon systems from us and they've been an ally for many years. So once again, Ramaswamy troubles me a little bit in his foreign policy and military policy. All right, listen, we got more on this. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Boomer and McQueen. Stay tuned for that one. Right now, though, starting off the hour, I got a call on the line. That'd be Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, how are you?
I am good. How are you, Phil?
I am glad. I'm doing good. Thank you very much. What do you think? Did you watch the debate last night?
I did.
You're such a political junkie.
I am. My husband actually groaned when I turned it on. He gets tired of it after a while.
I totally get it. Well, what do you think? I mean, what were your takeaways?
Well, Vivek, I think is how you pronounce it, pretty much roundhouse kicked everybody in the mouth last night. I mean, he just punched him in the mouth. It was bad. And you kind of stole a little of my thunder reading not a lot of what you did earlier, but
I'm so sorry. It happens to be my show.
but it's my thunder. Come on, Bill. I actually think that Nikki Haley responding to him in that way, saying "scum, you're scum," was a really bad move on her part.
Yeah,
she allowed him to get under her skin.
That's right.
A bad look.
That's a good point.
Such a bad look. And she was. You get to see it on her face. She couldn't hardly hide it. She was really angry, and she was really angry about a lot of it. And she should know that they're going to be coming after her. Because she's kind of coming up, nose to nose with DeSantis. I personally think both of them are going to go down, and I think Ramaswamy is going to increase after the debate.
I would definitely think, what am I trying to say? That Ramaswamy definitely came out as somebody who was trying to make his bones. But some of what he was doing though, I felt like was not going to be super helpful. I mean, I didn't like his position on not really wanting to help Israel. I didn't like his position. I didn't think it was a good idea for him to call out Haley's daughter.
She was being very hypercritical of him on TikTok, which he's said before, I'm just trying to reach younger people. This is a platform. He has said, I do want China out of TikTok, period, or ban the app. He's said that before. But I do think it's hypocritical of her to criticize him when her own family is, and her daughter, like, have you seen some of her TikTok videos? She's doing it to, like, really dirty songs. So I'm like, whatever.
No,
she's a hypocrite like they all are.
I don't know that I can, but her daughter's, like, in her mid-20s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She can do what she likes, but I'm just saying it is hypocritical to be like, you shouldn't be using that, but my daughter's on there promoting dirty rap songs. No. You just need to stop, Nikki. I don't like her. I never have liked her. I've always thought she was she never met a war she didn't like. And I think what he's trying to do is walk a fine line because he has criticized, and rightly so, this debacle with Ukraine that we should have never been in. And we're going to, pour money down a black hole. And I think he's trying to walk this fine line because he knows he's criticized that versus Israel. Because then I think people are like, you want to fund them but not Ukraine. But it's a totally different situation in Israel. They were attacked. This has been an ongoing, although you could probably say it about both of them, but we don't have a relationship with Israel like we did with Ukraine. Our politicians aren't using Israel as a slush fund like they do in Ukraine. We don't have the reasons to defend Israel that are the same as Ukraine. So I think that, but he's just trying to walk a tightrope there a bit, so he doesn't look like.
They always walk tightropes. They do. Well, let me ask you this: what were your thoughts on DeSantis? Did he even show up last night?
he was okay. He and that's all he ever comes across as, which is sad. And I have to say that Tim Scott, he gives a lot of good answers. I found, you know, I can nod along with his answers. It's just his delivery stinks. You just can't change a man's personality, and it's just, it doesn't work. And Haley again came across as like an angry school marm, a really ticked, you know, principal something. And Chris Christie is just, it's like he's driven by a sense of he hates Trump. He's not driven by the same thing that the others are. And he also is a liberal Republican. Let's just be honest. You cannot win in New Jersey unless you're a liberal Republican. I don't care what he says. And, you know, nobody wants that.
I think Chris Christie just wants to go be a federal court judge or an AG for somebody. And he's trying to keep his name in the spotlight, but there's no way in the world
he would go away.
I do too. I personally think that he has definitely just outlived his usefulness, in my opinion. So I think they winnow it down next time. I'm pretty sure Tim Scott's on the way out. I think that I think we're looking at
Chris Christie,
and I think we're looking at potentially a DeSantis, Haley, and Ramaswamy debate in Alabama. What do you think?
Yes, I think that's probably going to be it. I can't see the other two, but and can I tell you the best line or the best comment?
Yeah, tell me quick. I got another caller on the line.
Okay, is when Vivek said that he said, you know, that Biden's not even running the U.S. So let's be honest about who's running the U.S. Who's going to be your candidate? Let's just go ahead and get it out in the open. Who you're actually? I mean, like he called them out on that.
Yeah.
And you just don't hear mainstream politicians doing it.
No, he called out his own party too. I thought him calling out Ronna McDaniel was huge too. That was awesome.
Oh, I mean, nobody likes her. That was an easy dunk.
Hey, last question, short answer. What do you think? Should Trump be on the stage or no?
In Tuscaloosa, I think so. I think if he avoids all of it, we need him on there anyway. I need to hear some of his comebacks.
I agree. I think it's time for him to get on the stage. All right. Hey, Lee, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much for calling in. Thank you very much for your input. Let me jump over and grab another long call before the break. Line two, Alan from Hartsell. Alan, how you doing?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yes, you are. How are you, buddy?
I'm surviving. I've always felt like Social Security was a Ponzi scheme. If you look at it, to start with, you're going to retire at 55, then 58, 62, 65. Now they want to move it up to 70. I know so many people feel that they might have drawn it for 2 years. Well, all the money they paid in for all those years.
Yeah.
Where did that money go?
Oh, yeah. It went to fund somebody else or something else.
That's what I've said all along. You know, hey, we paid it in and paid it in. And when I went to sign mine up, me and this young man got into a kind of heated discussion about it. He said, you look like you're in good health. I said, yeah, back surgery, both knees, lower left shoulder. But at the same time, you're sitting here 35 years old. You're working for me, right? He said, well, you got a problem. I said, no, I don't. You got the problem. He said, what do you mean? I said, because you've been sitting behind that desk probably your whole working life. You've never been in the real world. Oh, you got a problem. I said, no, I don't. You have. Now,
Alan, I'm going to tell you, when you're waiting for somebody to process your paperwork so you can get money, those aren't the ones you try and tick off.
that was my point exactly. I worked for it, and I retired. And when I retired, I expected mine to be there. But like I said, I know a number of people that would live maybe 2 years after they started.
Yeah.
And they were gone.
Yeah.
And some of them didn't even live that long. Some of them died before they even started drawing it.
Well, it's true. And I think that, but the point that Chris Christie was making, I think he was off base. You know, there's Social Security for disability, and then there's Social Security for your Social Security like pension fund, so to speak. And that's the one you can't say if you're wealthy you can't take it. You paid into the system, you paid in. But hey, listen, I gotta take one more call for the break. Alan, I appreciate you, man. You have a great day. All right.
You too. Have a great afternoon and night.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Real quick, I'll take line three for the break. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, doing well. And I think Trump is doing the right thing from his position, being the lion of the pride. He's letting the challengers bloodlet each other.
Yeah.
Before they approach him.
Well, I think he's also whittling it down a little bit. I mean, he's going to be the center of attention no matter what time he shows up. But I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
The bloodletting, he's letting them scratch each other and letting them bleed out.
Oh, yeah. No, your point's well taken. I mean, I thought it was interesting that he was having a rally right down the street from last night's debate. But
we need him in Tuscaloosa.
I agree. I want him in Tuscaloosa. I want him in Tuscaloosa for the notoriety, if nothing else. Brian, thanks very much.
Have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy.
Goodbye.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. I'll take some text messages, and then we'll see where we can go. And don't forget, coming up here very soon, Boomer and McQueen. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got somebody held on line one during the break, so let me honor their time and run right to it. Line one, Dave from Rimlap. How you doing?
Hey, Phil. I wanted to give an attaboy to the guy that was talking about Social Security, the last one. Both my parents retired from Social Security. They started back in the 1950s. And dad was the claims authorizer, and mom was in the district office. But they went through so many changes. In 1965, the LBJ administration forced them to absorb, and of course it was the Congress also, absorb welfare into the program. And it was a disaster. I won't tell you what the first program was, but it was a horrible thing that they did to the public. And the workers did not like it. But it is an insurance program, and that guy is right. With our present government medicine, a lot of people die long, you know, before you even apply.
Yeah.
And they retro up and down in your age. When I retired in 16, they had moved it from to 68 to 70 years old. And of course, they tell you, oh, if you wait, and they give you what you'll get versus what you get, you know, at an earlier date. And mine was earlier. But you figure this, and there was like 8 years or 7 years that I would collect a check until that time. And so that makes up the difference unless I live 104. I think Jesus will be here pretty soon, so I don't think we'll have to worry about it. But anyway, that's where I am, and I've enjoyed it. And, of course, what the tragedy of it all is that they don't pay enough for you to really live on.
Yeah.
And of course, we've rifled money all over the world that we could be taking care of our own citizens, and which is a real tragedy to the people of this country and with a lot of others. But anyway, it is an insurance program, so nobody should ever look at it like it's welfare, like supplemental income. That is welfare. And right now, in the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, we went through reform acts, Social Security reform acts, which basically put the welfare system out of Social Security into the state's lap. And what they've done is they've ruled that some of the illegal aliens get twice as much money as Americans. That's outrageous.
Yeah, that's unconscionable right there. Hey, Dave, appreciate it, man. That's good stuff. Thanks, thanks for filling us in. Right, I appreciate that. Did we lose him?
Bye-bye.
All right, see you, Dave. All right. I was trying to say goodbye, and I think we just had a gap in the signal there. He makes a great point. And it's amazing how that system has morphed over time. I got several text messages before we hit the break, and I'll do that right now. Roger from Ardmore. Happy Veterans Day to all my military family and brothers. And sisters, please keep one of our Navy brothers in your prayers. Just found out he has stage 4 esophageal cancer. Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. Blessings on him. Stephen from Madison, can you get me tickets to the next debate? Stephen, can I get me tickets to the next debate? I don't know. But tell you what, I am sure they are out there, and I'll find out what's up. And anyway, I don't have tickets right now, bro, but just stand by. Dustin from Hazel Green, Ramaswamy's best play would be to issue a sincere apology saying, I messed up. I took a cheap shot at someone's child who happens to be a grown woman who can make her own decisions without thinking my words through. I was ignorant and had nothing to debate. Will not make that mistake again. He won't say that. He won't. He won't say that. You know what he could have done, though? He could have just easily said, you can't ding me when you've got family members who use TikTok, and we all know it. I mean, that's all he had to say. He didn't have to say, your own daughter, because then mama gets it all bowed up. But anyway, Boyd from Joppa, Ramaswamy's response was good, but he dodged a question he must answer. He refuses to directly attack Trump, and that proves he isn't a serious candidate. I think he's still hoping for a position in what's definitely going to be the Trump administration right now. Ryan from Hazel Green, Ramaswamy is literally the only reason I watched the debate last night. We can expect the same scripted lines over and over again from everybody else on the stage, but at least Vivek has it in him to go up there and call out the corruption nobody else wants to speak on. At this point, he says, I'll call future debates. What will Vivek say next? Or maybe Vivek says the darndest things. That's fair. Marcus from Huntsville. Yeah, don't forget Social Security is not an option. You're forced to pay into it. And also, there are people that are ultra-rich that no longer qualify to draw Social Security. That basically means that their money was stolen from them against their will and have no way to collect any of it back. Steve from Madison says, Steve-O from Madison here. Eliminate the cap to Social Security and it's solvent forever. Simple. Okay. Jeff from Green Hill. Boomer and his hard-driving music. How about some Hank Williams here and there? Now you're getting in Boomer's business. Jerry H. from Hoax Bluff just chimed in. Says, hey, Phil, just got on. Have you mentioned the 4-hour pause in the war in Gaza for humanitarian reasons? I think it's ridiculous. Apologize if I missed your response. Praying for your family, my friend. Thank you, brother. And, yes, I have heard that there's a 4-hour humanitarian pause. In my opinion, there's only two reasons why you should pause right now in that war. The first one is if it means you're getting hostages out. The second one is it because you're reloading. That's about it. I say everything else, it's just keep pouring it on. Colin from Decatur, I'm 31. I don't expect Social Security to even exist anymore when I hit retirement age. Of course, I also don't expect to be able to retire since the cost of everything's only gone up since I started working at 16. Colin, stay in the fight, man. Appreciate you being so productive. Absolutely. And then Brian from Huntsville just says, I am quite respectful of Dave talking on Social Security. Many do not know that info. Thanks, Dave, he says. Brian, there you go. Just everybody's trading information and people are benefiting. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're coming back from this break. And it is that time. Boomer and McQueen. We'll see what kind of questions I got for them and we'll see what kind of questions they got for me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.